Hello, you are listening to the very first episode of Fraternal Files. I'm Kersey.
And I'm Shelby.
We are at our mother's house right now in our little sister's disgusting bedroom.
Super disgusting. Reporting live. Well, not live, but reporting from.
Yeah, our mom's house.
So we decided to start this podcast because we are both moms, and pretty much the only thing we have in common is that fact and the fact that we like to listen to true crime and talk about true crime. And
like we're obsessed
and we just like that fucked up shit. And so it's fun. Let's have a creative outlet and let's try our hand at our own little podcast.
Yeah, like we both literally listen to like hours of true crime podcasts a day while we're at work. So yes. This is just, I mean, you should have seen it coming.
Yeah, we just had to do it.
So
this is a really awkward beginning. We don't really know what we're doing. We're not super educated in the podcast process. We just decided to jump in and learn as we go. So if we make mistakes, if something's not great, feel free to let us know. You can talk shit about us, but don't be mean to us because we're super sensitive.
And we will just, you know, ignore you.
Yeah.
Like mature adults. Because, you know, if I don't like you, I'm not going to email you to tell you that I don't like you. I'm just going to not like you.
Yeah. Like, just move on to your other podcast that you love. But
bye.
We hope you like us and we hope you stick around, because if this podcast sucks or if this episode sucks, we promise that we'll get better.
Yeah. Just tell us what we can improve on. We love constructive criticism.
Yeah. And we also would love some ideas for cases. We're going to try our best to focus on some cases that aren't overly done because the true crime world is huge. We know that there's a lot of cases that get done a lot. So we'll try to do some that aren't done too much, but we also are going to do some that are done a lot because they're cases that we enjoy. And the beauty of a podcast is it's not live. So if you don't like the topic, you can just wait for the next episode or skip ahead or whatever.
Oh, yeah. And also, we are from South Dakota, and it sounds like the first case we're going to hear today is some horrible dude from South Dakota.
Yeah, he was born in South Dakota. So
where was he born?
He was born in Webster, South Dakota.
Oh. And also, I don't know anything about this case, except I did know that he was born in Webster, and we have family in Webster, and, like, know a lot of people from there, so that's why this one is, it grabs our attention.
Yeah, it's fun to do cases that can kind of be relatable to you. Now, we don't know this person, but I wonder, our great-grandma lived in Webster for a long time, so I'm wondering if she knew of this person.
No, I'm sure.
Well, he didn't do any of his killing in Webster, thankfully.
Oh my gosh. Grandma has an iPad now.
Really?
We could totally, like, FaceTime her and be like, did you know who this person was? But we'll do that later.
We'll do this later, and then we'll update you guys. We'll let you know if our grandma knew who this person was.
Anyway.
The guy we're talking about today, his name is Jerome Henry Brudos. He goes by Jerry, so he's better known as Jerry Brudos. And some of his nicknames were the Lust Killer or the Shoe Fetish Slayer. I think it's really funny how people get nicknames. So I want to kind of just start with his childhood and then just work my way up to the escalation and the murders and such. So like we said before, he was born in Webster, South Dakota. He was born January 31st, 1939. And his parents' names, I believe, were Eileen and Henry. His mother really wanted a daughter. They had already had a boy named Larry. So Larry and Jerry. But
Larry and Jerome,
but Larry unless and Jerry. Like,
yeah, unless it was whatever, anyway.
So after Larry, who his mother loved, she really wanted a daughter. So when she had a son, she was pretty pissed and basically immediately treated him like shit. She what was the heck? She was awful. She was a bitch.
Could you imagine just like having your baby and be like, ugh, you're not what I wanted?
Yeah, like when I was pregnant, I wanted a boy. And then the moment I found out that I was having a girl, I was stoked and I was like, oh, actually, I guess I wanted a girl this whole time.
Yeah, that's like exactly how I felt with my first baby who was a boy. And then like when I got pregnant with my second baby, we decided not to find out the gender. And I was like, it was fun. It was so fun to just like not know. And obviously you're going to love them the same because yes. You're a normal human being.
Yes. I'm glad that that anxiety was fun for you because it was awful for me. I wanted to know if I was having a niece or nephew the whole time.
But that's how I felt. But like with Morgan, like I had to know like as soon as possible. So I like paid extra money to get mm-hmm. this like blood test and found out at like 9 weeks that it was a boy. And then, yeah. But that was also something that me and my husband were like, if you get to find out the gender of the first one, then we're not going to find out the gender of the second one. And so, yeah.
Right.
Anyhow.
So, yeah, his mom was basically a raging bitch. And his dad was a really hard worker. Originally, when they lived in Webster, it was on a farm. So, you know, like farmers, they work really hard. But eventually, they decided to move to Oregon. Is it Oregon or Oregon?
You're putting me on the spot, so I have no idea.
I'm going to say Oregon because that sounds right to me. Sorry if I'm wrong, folks. I know that there's like a debate about that and I don't remember.
I don't care.
I don't remember the answer. I don't care. So they ended up moving to Oregon and there his father was able to find a job quickly, but he had trouble keeping a job. And the reason that he had trouble keeping this job was because he had a temper. He had anger issues, so he would get fired for blowing up at his boss, or he would hate the people he worked with and he would quit, or whatever. It was crazy. He couldn't keep a job, so they were constantly moving between different towns in Oregon to California, just like in that general area, the Pacific Northwest.
So he could basically find a job?
Yeah, they were just constantly moving.
Oh my God. I'd be like, go get some help.
Yeah. So that's going to take a toll on kids, obviously.
Right.
So between that and having parents that like don't treat you right and whatever, Jerry kind of struggled as a youth. He also had health issues. He got like chronic headaches or migraines. And he was smart, but he didn't like apply himself. So in school, he was just kind of like, he was basically average. I feel like a lot of serial killers are either like really, really smart.
Yeah.
Or their IQs are really low.
Right.
It's never really in between. Well, Jerry, I think.
That's so true. I've never thought about that.
I think his IQ was a little bit above average, but he like just didn't apply himself. So.
Right.
Like people that went to school with him, they like remember who he was, but like not really. Like mm-hmm. they don't really remember him. They're like, oh yeah, he was there, but I couldn't tell you anything about him.
Like us.
Yeah. We're average. Like we haven't peaked yet. Which whatever, that's fine. I'm glad I haven't peaked yet because I think I have some potential.
I don't want anybody to know me.
So anyway, everything kind of started when he was around 5. For some reason, his parents allowed him to just like run around and he found himself in a junkyard.
What?
At 5 years old. Like, I don't know. How are you going to let your kid like be in a junkyard by themselves at 5 years old? I don't know.
I don't know. Things were really like the 90s were nuts for kids. Like, I feel like we could just go do whatever we want. So if you take it all the way back to like the 1940s, like maybe that was common. Maybe kids just like to hang out at the junkyard.
Well, they hadn't even like, when he started committing all of his murders, they hadn't even come up with the term serial killer yet.
Oh. Okay.
So like crimes weren't even, I mean, crimes happened obviously, but they weren't as big. People weren't as worried.
Or they just didn't know it yet.
Yeah, they just didn't know how sick people were. Like, we do now. Like, I wouldn't even let Eleanor, I mean, my daughter's almost 2, but when she's older, I'm not even going to let her run to the mailbox without me knowing where she is.
Right.
Like,
I'm keeping track. Let's go get the mail.
So he ended up in a junkyard where he found a pair of high heel shoes.
Ooh.
Yeah, so they were, like, pretty worn. Like, rhinestones were falling off, whatever. But, like, something attracted him to these shoes, and he brought them home. And he would, like, walk around in them. Like, he knew they were shoes, but he had never seen shoes like this before because his mom was very, I guess, traditional. She was very like proper, and she, you know, she didn't wear clothes like that. She didn't wear fancy clothes. She didn't wear high heels. She didn't.
Could you imagine if like your 5-year-old came home with a pair of like high heels and like was just wearing them around? I would like take so many pictures, and it would be so cute and funny.
I think it would be so funny to see like to see your son walking around in high heels. I think would be super, super cute.
Right.
My only concern wouldn't be that they were wearing high heels. It would be that they came from a freaking junkyard.
Yeah, like, or like you're gonna fall down and hurt yourself.
Yeah, like these are dirty and gross.
That I can't even wear high heels. Yeah. I don't know how 5-year-old's wearing high heels.
Yeah. So he took them home and began to wear them and play with them around the house. And when his mom saw these shoes, she was pissed. Like, she freaked. She was like, "Where did you get those? These shoes are disgusting. You know, like, get rid of these nasty, whatever shoes." So he didn't know what was wrong with them, and he
stabbed his mother with a shoe.
Yes. No, he promised his mom that he would get rid of them, but he was very curious. And you know, like when somebody tells you you can't have something, you want it. So
yeah,
he said that he would get rid of them, but he kept them and he hid them. Well, obviously he's young, so he didn't hide them very well, and his mom found them again. And instead of like yelling at him and throwing them away, she burned them in front of him.
What?
And basically like berated him for being a nasty and having those shoes. But yeah, his mom burned the shoes in front of him, which I don't really know the psychology. I'm not a psychologist, but this must have just like lit a flame in him where he was like, "I must have more high heels." I don't really know. I think it was probably mostly curiosity, like, why are these shoes bad? Why can't I have them?
That could be, yeah.
So, yeah, his mother's disdain for the shoes attracted him even more. And, I mean, when he was young, obviously he wasn't fetishizing them because he didn't – it wasn't a sexual thing at that point. It was just, like, a curiosity. But as he grew, obviously it turned more into a sexual thing.
Mm-hmm.
So in grade school, I think it was like in first grade, he had a teacher who wore high heels, but she also brought like a backup pair of like more comfortable shoes. So she would change back and forth. Like, you know, her feet got tired. She wanted to put on her
stole
flats.
Them, didn't he?
Yeah. So
he wore them to school.
Wore some high heels to school just in the first grade. That would be funny. No, so he like snuck under her desk when she changed her shoes, and he stole them.
Oh my gosh.
So like, I don't know, a first grader is probably thinking she'll never notice. She'll never notice that her shoes are missing. Oh no. But this teacher is like, "Okay guys, where's my shoes? Like, hello.
Who's hiding them?
Hello.
Let me look inside your desk."
So obviously like she found the shoes. He got caught. There's like a lot of different sources say different things. Some say that another kid ratted him out, and some say that she like found them in his like where he hid them. But I don't know. Either way, he got caught. Duh. And I don't know. She must not have like told his parents, or like I'm sure nothing happened from that.
Good.
Whatever. He stole the shoes. He got caught. He gave them back. So then there was another time around that age when his family had company over and they had a teenage daughter. And
oh my God.
They were like having dinner or something, and she wasn't feeling well. And so she went and took a nap in his bed. And so he like moseyed on upstairs. Well, the big gulp.
Wait, so is he still in first grade?
I don't know what age he was in this instance, but he was still very young.
Probably in elementary school.
Yeah, okay. Still in elementary school. So the teenager is napping on his bed, and for some reason, like...
I'm just picturing, like, a little kid, like, creeping up and being like, "Hello. Shoes. Let's get some shoes."
So I'm sure he's thinking, like, "Oh, she's sleeping. She probably took her shoes off," because she was wearing high heels. "Oh, she probably took her shoes off." So he went upstairs and like, goddamn, I'm like moving my fingers. Obviously you guys can't see what I'm moving.
He
creeped up the stairs. So he goes to his room and she's asleep, but she did not take her shoes off.
Girl,
so he's like, damn.
She's getting my bed all dirty. Yeah,
he needed the freaking shoes. So while she's sleeping, he tries to get them off of her feet. Dumb kids. Obviously, she woke up. She caught him. And she went and she did whatever. He didn't get in trouble for this either because, I don't know, I guess he's just a little kid.
He's just a little boy.
He's just a little boy. Boys will be boys. Ugh, I hate that phrase. But, so this kind of was like the innocent part of his little shoe fascination. But as he grew, it turned from just like a fascination to like a desire to have this stuff so badly that he started stealing things. So first his friend, he had a little friend, and they would go into his friend's big sister's room and like steal her underwear, and he would take that home. Gross.
What?
Yeah, he would just like, they would go.
Why didn't he just start with shoes?
I don't know. Well, because, I mean, I don't know. I guess it just escalated to eventually he wanted more, which it's really funny to me that he would be curious about underwear because he wasn't getting any kind of like sexual education. So it's not like he didn't have any kind of like sexual attachment to the underwear. Like he didn't, it, I don't know. I couldn't say that it's like a perversion at this point because he's never seen a woman naked. Yeah. He's never experienced anything sexual.
And maybe like with the shoes, maybe like the fact that he didn't like his mom because she was mean and that she didn't want him to have them. Like you said, it like made him want them more.
Yeah. Cause when you're that young, it's not sexual yet. You don't know anything.
And I feel like a lot of serial killers, it seems like if their mom was the abusive one or whatever, then they like kill women, or like if their dad was, then they like kill men, or you know what I mean? Yeah.
So yeah, he started that, stealing underwear from his friend's teenage sister. And then eventually he would start like stealing bras and lingerie and stuff off of clotheslines when people were drying their things outside.
What?
Yeah. So
which was probably like super normal.
Yeah. Like in, I guess this is more when he was a teenager. So he probably knew a little bit about sex, but he really didn't know a lot. Like, he didn't even get his first wet dream until he was 16 years old, which like, I'm not a guy and I don't have, I don't have any brothers. So I don't know if that's a normal age. I would assume that that's kind of old to be having your first.
I don't know. I feel like everybody like, Everybody's
different. Yeah. But when he had this, he still had no, like...
He was probably dreaming about shoes.
He still had no sex ed, so he didn't know why it was happening. He didn't know anything.
Yeah, it's just...
Yeah.
It'll happen naturally whether you know about it or not.
Yeah, and his bitch mom, like, it's totally natural, but his bitch mom, like, basically was like, you're disgusting, blah, blah, blah. It made him, like, scrub the sheets.
Oh, my gosh.
And, like, she would make him sometimes sleep without sheets, or... She would make him like sleep on wet sheets if they weren't dry yet from him cleaning, because it would happen a lot. And she, you know, she didn't teach him. She just treated him like he was disgusting for having these problems.
What garbage.
Yeah. So, yeah, he would steal clothes from lines. He would stalk girls. He would do all that crazy stuff. And then in the summer of 1955, he was 16 years old and he crept into an 18-year-old's room. And stole some of her clothing. But that eventually, like, the clothing just wasn't enough. And he wanted, like, a real woman. He wanted to see a real woman naked. So he stole her clothing. And she reported the theft to the police. Like, she reported that her things were missing. And then one day he approached her and told her this. I don't know what he was thinking. He told her that he was working with the police and that he knew who stole her clothing.
What?
I'm like, yeah, like I know who did it. I'm working with the police. And obviously she knew like he was probably lying, but he was like a tubby little redhead. Like he was not conventionally attractive. He looked goofy. And so she didn't see him as a threat. She was like, whatever, like maybe he really knows something. She knew that he wasn't working with the police, but she was like, maybe he does know something. So let me follow this and see.
Do you have pictures of this dude?
I do. And I'll post them on Instagram.
Okay.
So she just like, whatever, like, let me see what happens here. She wasn't scared of him.
Right.
So he invited her to his house when his family was at home. And when she knocked on the door, he called to her and told her to go upstairs. When she got upstairs, he jumped out of his closet with a mask on and like had a knife and like was wielding it around and like scared the shit out of her. And obviously like she knew that it was him, but he had a knife. She didn't know what he was going to do. And he was like, take your clothes off. He like threatened her. And so she had to undress and he just took a bunch of pictures of her. That's all he did to her. She didn't know what was going to happen.
What?
So she.
That's like, that. It's scary, but it's like, what?
Yeah, like, it's so weird. But she had a knife, so she, or he had a knife. So she was like, let me do what he says. I don't want to get hurt. She didn't know if maybe he was going to rape her or cut her or do whatever. So she got undressed. He took all these pictures of her. And then he, like, finished taking the pictures and was like, oh, that's all I needed.
Okay, bye.
So he goes running.
Thanks for the pictures.
He dips out of his own house. He just like runs out and dips out of his own house. And she's like, what the hell just happened? So she like gets dressed and is like, okay, I'm just going to leave, I guess.
What?
And he comes running up the stairs. What? Like without the mask. He doesn't have the mask on. He's looking normal now.
Oh my
God. He's like, oh my God, did you see a man? A man locked me in the shed. Did you happen, like, I just finally got out of the shed and he had a knife and did you happen to see him? Didn't he, like, you know, like thinking that
this idiot.
Yeah, like a super big idiot. And she was like, no, whatever. And she left. And he like legitimately thought that he had her fooled.
Oh my God.
He was like, oh, she had no idea. Like, there's no way she had any idea that that happened. So he thought he got away with it.
Oh my God. Okay. Remember when you said like he was average IQ? Like maybe not. Or maybe this was just a stupid teenage brain pain. Like, I'm going to get away with this.
Yeah.
I don't know. Oh my God.
Yeah. I think that he was like book smart, but like he.
Common sense. He lacked.
He didn't have common sense because he wasn't, he didn't have like a social, he wasn't socialized. He was.
Well, obviously. And like, if you're stealing stuff like that, obviously you don't really have like, I don't know. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I know exactly.
Like you don't really think you're going to get, you don't think it's wrong.
Yeah.
So.
Once he finally saw these pictures, he was like, oh my gosh, like this is what a real naked woman looks like. Like he had never seen a naked woman before. And he was like, oh my gosh. So, you know, he was 16 at this point. So he was probably masturbating and doing all this stuff. So he would do what he had to do to these pictures.
Gross.
Well, like 8 months later, those pictures no longer had the effect that they did at one point, and he needed a new victim.
Wait, how many months?
Like 8.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
So, I mean, whatever.
And the girl didn't, like, say anything to the police?
She didn't say anything to the police because she knew that he knew where she lived. And she knew that this wasn't going to be something that he would be in jail for a long time. Like, he would probably get in a little bit of trouble and then nothing would really happen. And so she just didn't. She didn't say anything. Scared. Yeah, she was too scared that something would happen to her if she said something. So she never did. She did end up coming clean when he got caught down the line.
Oh my gosh.
But anyway, once those pictures no longer did it for him, he offered a 17-year-old girl a ride home. And, you know, she agreed and she got in his car. But instead of driving her home, he drove her to like this abandoned farmhouse area. And he had his camera and all of that stuff. And he like got her out of the car and basically like started beating her. Like he was gonna, I think like his plan was that he was going to like beat her, and he had fantasized about holding a woman captive and having like a slave and whatever.
Oh my gosh.
So he's beating her. He wants to take pictures. He wants to rape her. He wants to do all this stuff. But thankfully, a couple was driving by while he was like beating her and ordering her to strip her clothes. She was fighting, and so she was making a lot of noise. And thankfully, this couple was driving by and heard her screaming.
Oh my gosh.
And like pulled in. And he tried to tell the couple that, oh, she fell out of the car and I was just trying to help her.
Oh, yeah.
Like, oh, you were driving and she just boop fell out of the car.
She's like screaming. Yeah. Could you imagine?
Likely story.
Like as you fall that like long distance, you're like, ah,
boom, boom. She fell out of the car.
Help me.
So he said he was just trying to help her, and then that couple didn't believe that story. Obviously,
he's really so bad.
So they ended
stories.
Up, yeah, yeah, he's really bad. So they ended up like getting them both. I don't know why they even took him, but they got them both to get in the car and come to their house where they called the police. And the police came, and he, because of this, they ended up getting a search warrant for his house. So they found like all of the underwear he had stolen.
And oh my God.
The photos that he had taken.
Well, but, good thing that they like did take him with them, because if they didn't, then that probably wouldn't have happened.
Right. Exactly. So the search warrant, like they found all of that stuff, but it didn't really do anything. So pretty much he just got charged with beating this girl. And he was charged with like assaulting her, and then he was committed into the Oregon State Hospital. So, cause like, remember he was a teenager, so he wasn't put in prison. He was just put in like a mental health.
So he was like institutionalized.
Basically like as much mental health as
they had then.
Yeah. Nobody even cares about mental health now, but
yeah, nobody even did anything like back then. It was just like, let's shock them and see if like, yeah, they're different.
let's see if we can talk it out of them. Okay, so he only spent about 9 months in the state hospital. And when he was in there, he was still able to leave for school. So really, he was only there at night. So I don't really know how much this helped him. But they obviously had him in some kind of counseling with and like meetings with psychiatrists and stuff, where he spoke really like meekly about sex. Like he was, because obviously it seemed that his crimes were fueled like by sex. But when he spoke to psychiatrists about sex, he was spoke really shyly. Like it was very clear that he didn't know that much about sex. He was still shy about sex. He'd never had sex, all of that stuff. So it was kind of determined that he basically just had like some issues rooted in sex that he would like grow out of.
Well, he was like shamed.
Yeah.
By his mother.
Yeah, exactly. Like sexual education is so important.
I feel like people need to like understand that. Like everybody does it. Mm-hmm. It's just a normal part of life.
Right.
Oh my God. Okay, yeah. Anyway.
So it was also determined that like the violence was rooted in hatred for his mother. Which also kind of makes sense, but the violence isn't okay. But it makes sense that he hated his mom. So his fetishes weren't seen as threatening, and he was also diagnosed with borderline schizophrenia.
Oh shit.
Which I feel like, especially back then, the schizophrenia diagnosis was basically just for like, they did that when they didn't know how to explain what was happening. They're mm-hmm. like, well, we don't know what's wrong with you, so we're gonna say you're schizophrenic. And I actually have a lot of friends that are in like counseling and psychology type fields. Mm-hmm. And I was asking one of my friends a question, and she said that borderline schizophrenia like isn't even a real diagnosis anymore.
It's either you have schizophrenia or you don't.
Or you don't. Like, yeah, it's not real. So like I said, he was there for 9 months, and when he left, basically they just told him that he needed to grow up. Like,
you have schizophrenia, yeah. Grow up.
Yeah, like he didn't get any help.
Oh my God.
So he got released from there, and his family didn't even really want him back. But obviously they had to take him back because he was 17 years old. So he kept it together long enough to graduate high school. And then he joined the military.
Wow.
Yeah. And he was actually, he would have been very successful in the military because he was really good with like electronics, and he did some kind of engineering type things for the military. But he was doing really well until he started telling all of the people that he bunked with about how this Korean woman every night would sneak into the bunker and go straight for him and like beg him to have sex with her. And like, she wasn't even a real woman. He was like hallucinating all of this stuff. It was crazy.
He was hallucinating it?
I don't know if he was hallucinating it or if he was making it up. But it wasn't real.
He's like making it up. So like, when he does find a Korean woman that he wants to do something to, like, he can say that like she was on to him first.
Oh my gosh. You know, I never thought about that. But they weren't even based in Korea.
Oh, so.
So weird. It was all fake. I don't really know. I don't know where he was even based, but I'm fairly certain it wasn't Korea. So anyway, he starts having all of these issues in the military, and he has to go see like a military psychiatrist, and he must have started talking about all of his fetishes and all of the stuff that he was thinking about and dreaming about, because he ended up getting discharged for his fetishes.
Weird.
Yeah. So when he left the military, he went to school and he became an electrician. He kind of lived like a mostly normal life at this point. Like, he was still kind of stalking people and breaking into their houses and stealing their lingerie and their shoes and stuff.
That's so normal.
But he wasn't like committing crazy crimes.
Oh, well, that's good.
Yeah, he wasn't. He would like.
You can keep breaking into people's houses, but like, don't but hurt like, them.
He was as normal as. He was the most normal that he had been so far.
Okay.
So he ended up getting married. He found a woman named Darcy. At that time, she was 17 and she was beautiful, but she was also like shy and obedient. And she had a really overbearing father.
I'm scared.
So she just, I'm scared. He never hurts her.
Oh, God.
So she has an overbearing father and she just kind of wants to like, get out of his house, and she's not attracted to Jerry, but she's like a little bit interested in him because he's older
and interested in her
That's
how it works.
Yeah,
and it's called grooming, girls.
Yes, it is, but at seven, normally at 17 is kind of a normal age to get married at this point,
which, at that time. Yeah, yes, I guess.
So
well, yeah, I don't know.
So, they got married and she was pretty much the only woman that he ever like actually like really cared about and loved. Mm. And they had two kids together. They had a daughter and a son.
Aww.
Yeah. So their marriage was like pretty normal at the beginning, but Jerry obviously was a little bit weird. He would ask her to clean the house and do housework with only high heels on. So, like, he wanted her to be completely naked and only wearing high heels.
Wow, that sounds like somebody we just talked about earlier before the podcast.
So, yeah, he asked her to do that. And she had, like, a bad back or maybe a bad hip. I don't remember which one. She had a bad something. And so it was really uncomfortable for her. But she, like, did it anyway because...
Wow.
She wanted to make him happy, whatever.
What a, I don't know, is that a good wife or is that like, girl, what the heck are you doing?
Right, like she's trying to be a good wife, but also he sucks.
Yeah, like just suffer for me, please.
And he would convince her to let him take nude photos of her, which she was also really uncomfortable with, but he kind of promised her like, they're only going to be for me. When I'm done with them, I'll destroy them, blah, blah, blah. So she lets him take the pictures, even though she was uncomfortable with it. So yeah, their marriage was okay. He never like physically hurt her or anything like that. They just were kind of together. there wasn't anything major about their murders at or their murders about their marriage at this time. There wasn't anything crazy about their murders. No, she didn't commit any murders.
Okay, that's good.
So through this time period, like I said, he was as normal could be for him. He would still kind of sneak into people's houses, steal some stuff. And he would also like try to attack women just to steal their shoes and then like run away.
I'm just picturing like him running after a woman and then like smacking her with like a purse or something and be like, give me your shoes. And then like running away.
Scurrying away.
This little redhead.
Like up until
like
now.
Like a little leprechaun.
Yeah.
Like, not that like, okay, that'll be. But like the way that you explained him was like a tubby little redhead.
Well, he wasn't little. Like he was like tall.
But I feel like I'm also allowed to, but when he used to be tubby and little or small.
Well, he was fat. Like he was like. He was like tall and big, like 280. Like he was a big dude.
Okay, I don't know. I just feel like I'm allowed to make fun of him because he's a horrible piece of
crap. Yeah. Oh yeah, we're definitely allowed to make fun of him. So up until this point, he has only stolen people's lingerie, stolen shoes, and like kind of just mild. I don't want to say that because it's not all he did. Like he would sneak into people's apartments and he would steal their stuff, and if they started to stir, he would like rape them and then leave. But he would never get caught for this stuff. And I say that's all he did because obviously it gets worse.
Right.
So now we're gonna move on to the murders. Yes, the big stuff. The big kahunas. So the first victim of his, her name was Linda Slauson, and she was 19 years old. And she was an encyclopedia, and she was in encyclopedia sales. So she was out trying to sell encyclopedias, and it was raining. And basically, so what it was the office that she worked for would tell her, like, so-and-so wants to buy encyclopedias. Here's a lead. This is the address you need to go to. And so she was taking the little bus, and she was wearing her high heels, and she gets off the bus, and it rained on her paper that had the address. So she couldn't read it really well, and she didn't know where she was. She was lost.
Hello, would you like some encyclopedia?
And there was a man outside of a house, and she was like, hi, I'm looking for this address. Are you the person who's interested in buying these encyclopedias? And the reason that people were buying encyclopedias was because they didn't have the internet. This was the way they would sell encyclopedias, would be like, if you want your kids to grow up smart, you need to have all of these resources to teach them things.
Yeah.
So encyclopedia sales was actually a thing.
You remember, like, in elementary school, them being like, go look in the encyclopedia?
Barely.
Really?
I remember them being there, but I don't remember actually using them because we always had internet.
That's true, I guess. But
I remember being taught how to read an encyclopedia.
Maybe that's what I'm thinking.
But that's about it.
Yeah. I mean, like, we did grow up in the 90s, so it's not like we were deprived of, like, you know, internet and stuff.
Yeah. Like, we grew up with the internet.
But I feel like we were, like, it was the time where it was just transitioning from, like, that to mm-hmm. that. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So even though he wasn't the person that was supposed to be buying encyclopedias from her, he was like, oh yeah, that's me, come on inside.
That was, if you heard that was our little sister, Bristol. She's our favorite sister.
She's a dog.
That's why she's our favorite.
She's a dog. So anyway, he's like, yeah, come on in. Let's go down to the basement because we have company over and I don't want to, you know, I want to hear everything you have to say. I don't want anybody to disturb you. So she's like, oh, okay, I'm going to sell some encyclopedias today.
Hey.
Yep. And she goes with him. She's not afraid. So he sits her down on a stool and, like, kind of sits there and asks, you know, lets her start going on her little spiel. And while she's talking, he knocks her out with a big wooden plank. And then he strangles her. So she, this poor girl. Once he strangled her to death, and once she was dead, he would, like, change her clothes. He took her clothes off and he would put him on, like, because he had this big stash of clothing that he had been stealing.
Oh my God. So he's just like, he wants, like, a real Barbie.
Yeah, exactly. Like, that's what I have written down. Like, he was, played with her body like it was a doll.
Oh my God.
Like, she just changed her clothes, posed her, took pictures of her, or whatever.
Oh my God.
Actually, I don't think he took pictures of this one. But then after he was done, after he was done playing with her, that's so such a gross way to say it. He cut her foot off and he put it in the freezer.
Oh my God. Did he paint the toenails?
That would be so gross.
I know. That reminds me of Dexter, like the icebox killer, how sends like hands and stuff, like painted.
Oh my gosh.
There's another Dexter. Season of Dexter coming out. Did you see that?
I did, but I haven't, like, read much into it.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
So he cuts the shoe off and the reason or the foot off. And the reason that he cuts the foot off is because he wants to use it for shoe modeling.
Let's get some shoes.
Shoes. So once he was done, he waited until the middle of the night and he put her in the trunk of his car and he drove out to the Willamette River to dump her body, but he kept the foot in the freezer. Yes, he kept the foot in the freezer. And when he would dump her body, he would, like, take out, like, his jack and stuff and make it look like he was changing his tire. Just in case somebody drove by and he had an excuse for why he was, like, on the side of the road.
It was like, just chilling.
Yeah. So that was his first murder.
Poor girl.
Yeah. So then his next murder was in May. That was in January. And then in May of that same year.
Wow. So he did not waste any time.
He didn't waste any time. All of his murders are really close together. In May of that year, just a few months later, his next victim was Karen Sprinker, and she was only 18. He abducted her at gunpoint with a fake gun. He ran up to her with a fake gun, and she was in a parking lot.
What a piece of shit.
Yeah. So he brought her,
in a parking lot?
Just in the middle of the day. I don't know how we got away with this stuff. So actually, before I go on.
It's kind of crazy how, many people get abducted in plain daylight.
Yeah, and, nobody, how are you telling me that nobody saw that?
Yeah, no kidding. Or, cameras, oh my gosh. Yeah.
Right. So, in between Linda and
Karen. Oh, but it was 1940, though. True. They didn't have that kind of, cameras and stuff.
True. So, I said Linda was murdered in his basement. In between Linda and Karen, he moved. And so, at this point, he had, a garage that he set up as his workshop. And his wife was, instructed that she was not to go in there ever.
Oh, that sounds familiar. And yeah. Serial killers, don't go in my garage.
Don't go in there. And they had, the freezer out there that would keep, all their frozen meat and stuff. And he was if you need anything from the freezer, they had a little intercom. You tell me over the intercom, I'll get it for you. And she just, listened. You're telling me you never went in there? How? Whatever. I don't know.
I'd be fuck you. This is my house.
Yeah, so after he abducted Karen, he brought her to his garage and he made her model clothing and shoes and took pictures of her all while she was alive at this point. And she was just kind of doing whatever he said, obviously, to try to not get hurt. And then he raped her and he strangled her with what he called a come along, which is kind of a pulley system. So it was a strap around her neck, and then it would a rope or a chain would go up to the ceiling, and then it would go all the way through a hoop, and then so that he could pull it.
So he basically just hung her.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Basically, but it was a pulley, so he could move it as he wanted to.
Oh my god.
And that's what it was called, a come along. So after he strangled her to death, he had sex with her body multiple times. So he was a necrophile.
Yuck.
Gross.
I don't even understand how
that. I know. And he even cut off her breasts to make paperweights. So think the resin crafts that got really popular when quarantine started.
What?
He would basically was trying to encase her breasts in resin to make paperweights. He didn't do.
Oh, let me just hold that down with this boob here real quick.
Yeah.
What?
Isn't that crazy?
What paper?
I don't know that he ever actually used it, because he actually ended up bringing one into the house and he showed his wife Darcy, and he said that she asked about it, and he said that it was just an experiment. It wasn't real.
I found it at Goodwill.
He said that he made it, but it was just an experiment to see how it would work.
What?
So, basically made her think that it wasn't a real breast. What reason would she have to think that he had, a real breast? How, you know what I mean?
Okay, but if your husband came in with, a paperweight breast thing, and it's just an experiment, why?
Yeah.
You're just out in your garage, sculpting a boob? For fun?
I'm just married to a weirdo.
You really want a paperweight like that? That's what you've been doing in there?
I think a lot of times it's she didn't believe anything was happening because she didn't want to see it. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, he had sex with her body. He cut her breasts off to make paperweights. And then this time he redressed her in clothing that wasn't hers. He put her, infamously, she's remembered to be found in a black bra that was way too big for her. So the bra was really big on her, and he would put paper towels in the bra so that when he transported her to the river to toss her body, he wouldn't get blood in his car.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, ugh, disgusting.
How long did he keep her, though?
I'm not sure how long he kept either of these people. I think it was really, for the most part, he would drop them off that same night. He would wait till his family went to sleep.
That's disgusting.
So he also disposed of her in the same river. And then his next victim was Jan Susan Whitney, and she was 23 years old. This takes place in November of 1968, so just another couple of months. She was abducted again I'm sorry, she wasn't abducted. Her car broke down on I-5, which is just like the interstate that goes through that area. Her car broke down and he happened to drive upon her. So she was actually had two other men with her who must have also like stopped or seen her and were trying to help her. But they couldn't help her. And he pulled over and said, "Oh yeah, I know exactly what's wrong. Let me help you fix that. I just need to go home and get the right parts and tell my wife what's going on so she knows what's keeping me. Do you want to ride along so you don't have to stay here?"
Oh my gosh. Of course. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. So she gets in the car. So do these other two men.
Oh my God.
But he drove them just up to like another interstate exit, or I don't know. It doesn't really say where he dropped them off, but he dropped them off at some point. So then it was just her. It was just Jan and Jerry in the car. So he gets to their house. They get to his house and he says, like, the door is locked. So I have to go around through the garage. So he goes around through the garage and says, oh, like at that point, he goes inside and he grabs like a strap, like a leather strap. And he comes back to the car and he says, oh, my wife's not home. I can't get into the house. We just need to wait. She'll be home in a couple of minutes. And she's sitting in the front seat and he gets into the back seat right behind her.
Oh my gosh.
Which is like, I don't know. She must have been scared at this point. But he says, like, he asks her to play a game. And the game is to describe how to tie your shoe without showing, like, you have to close your eyes and just describe it with words.
Mm-hmm.
So like loop it and then pull it through and whatever. So she tries to start to do that and then he pulls the strap out and strangles her. And as he starts to strangle her and he pulls the leather strap and then he pulls it through like the back seat and shuts it on the door so that you can picture it, like she's like held back by the strap that's being held into the backseat door.
Mm-hmm.
So she's strangling to death and he goes up and like starts to sexually assault her, starts to rape her just right in the front seat of the car.
While she's
dying.
Like choking.
Yeah. And he even said that he thinks that she died like while he was inside her.
Oh, so he told this story. Oh my gosh.
Oh yeah, he tells all of these stories. Like when he gets caught, he can't stop talking.
What?
He shares everything. All of this stuff came from him.
Oh my God. Well, I mean, yeah, I guess I had to come from somewhere.
Yeah. So he, like I said, he raped her in the car while she died. And he kept her, then he like brought her into the garage. And he kept her hanging from the come along for days. He was dressing her up and having sex with her body and taking photos of her.
Oh my God.
And he only cut off one of her breasts to make a paperweight because he just had to keep trying at these resin crafts, you know?
Is he keeping feet anymore?
No. That one foot, Linda's foot, is the only foot that he took.
That's weird.
Yeah. So what's crazy about this one is he kept her in the garage. And this was in November. So his family went out of town for Thanksgiving and he kept her hanging in the garage while they went. So while
oh my gosh, I couldn't even imagine that.
Right. So while she's hanging in the garage, someone actually like ran their car into his garage on accident. So the police had to come and everything, but he wasn't home. He was out of town. And they like, the doors were locked so they couldn't get into, the cops couldn't get into the garage, but there was like a hole in the garage so they could kind of peek through.
Ah!
Well, the cops didn't see anything. They just left him a note like, hey, this is what happened. Call us when you get back.
Oh my God. He was probably like, holy shit.
Yeah. So like he was so close to getting caught. And so he comes home. He finds this note. He cleans up his garage a little bit. He went and threw her in the river along with the Linda's rotting foot. Finally, her foot was rotted enough that he didn't want it anymore. So that he throws both the foot and Jan, Susan, Whitney into the river.
Ew. Wait, did you say that he, like, put it in the freezer or anything? Or did he just, like, have this foot?
No, he kept the foot in the freezer.
Oh.
And he would just take it out, put shoes on it, and take pictures of it, and whatever. Probably masturbate with it, like, crazy. So after he throws her in the river, then he cleans up the garage a little bit, and he calls the police, and the police come and look around and whatever, so he can do his insurance claim, and that's that. So that was in November. And then in April of the following year, 1969, so again, like, not that much time, he attacked Sharon Wood in a parking garage. And she fought back. She fought back really hard, and she was yelling and she was screaming. And then she bit his thumb and her jaw locked up. So, like, she couldn't let him loose. So at this point, like, he's stuck and she's not. What, she couldn't get his thing?
How did your jaw get stuck?
I think it was probably just like a physical
reaction, or something.
Her fear, like, physically, I don't know. You know, like, how sometimes, like, when you're, if you're so emotionally, like, riled up, you can physically get sick, like, you can throw up. It was probably something like that. Like, her body was physically showing what she was feeling.
Oh, my gosh.
So as soon as he could get his thumb out of her jaw or out of her mouth, he ran away. Because, like, the second he doesn't have control, he needs to get the fuck out of there, right?
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Yeah. So crazy.
This bitch is crazy.
So crazy. So then.
You go, girl.
So she was 24. And then the very next day, he was like, oh, like, he was mad that that happened. So actually, I think it might have even been the same day. He was mad that that happened. So he needed to go find somebody else. And he sees Gloria Smith, who's only 15 years old. He attempted to abduct her, but she ran away screaming to a nearby woman who was working in her yard. So he, like, got in his car and sped the fuck off.
Good job, Gloria.
So Sharon and Gloria, they were both attempted abductions, but he didn't get it.
Isn't that kind of weird that those are a couple of our grandparents' names?
Oh my gosh, I never thought about that.
Yeah, so maybe, like, I don't know, our grandparents just have, like, the best names.
Way to go,
smart
girls.
Women have those names, I guess.
Way to go, girls. So now this one was the next day. He was so mad that he didn't get either of those women that he was like, I'm getting a victim today.
It's her name, Karen.
Her name is Linda. Saley. She's 22 years old. Now, she's in a shopping center, and she's shopping for her boyfriend's birthday presents. And she was one of those women that, like, she loved buying things for people. So she was buying all kinds of gifts. And her boyfriend knew that she was shopping for him. And he anticipated seeing her in a couple hours. So Jerry stopped her with a fake police badge because she had been shopping a lot, and she said that she was caught shoplifting and he had to take her downtown.
Oh, smooth.
Yeah, and she was, like, obviously scared, like, I didn't steal anything, but she wanted to comply. So she got in the car, and instead of going to the police station, he drove to her, to his house, and he took her in the garage, tied her up, and went inside to have dinner with his family.
Oh my God.
When he came out, she was actually had gotten loose from the ties, but she was still just sitting there.
What?
Like, she didn't try to do anything. So I'm guessing that it was probably, like, she was in so much shock that she didn't know what to do, or she was so scared that she was just too scared to run away. But she was just still sitting there.
Like, is there a way she could have got out? If
I have read that there was, like, a phone in the garage, so she could have called the police.
What?
Or, I mean, I'm sure there was a way for her to get out, but so basically the way he explains it is, like, she could have gotten away, but she wanted to be with me.
Oh my God.
She wanted to be there.
Typical narcissist.
So again, he strangled her with a leather strap. This time he didn't cut off any of her breasts because he said that the nipples were too close to this, like, they weren't the right color, so he didn't like her boobs.
Oh, okay.
So he didn't, yeah, so disgusting. So instead he tried something else after she was dead, and he tried to electrocute her by putting, like, two needles on either side, like, near her ribs.
When she was dead already?
I think that she was already dead. He wanted to, like, basically, like, see how her body would react. Like, her, obviously, like, her body was moving, like she was dancing.
Right.
And he found joy in that.
Oh, my gosh.
So he did what he did with her, and he ended up throwing her in the river again. So the bodies of Linda Saley, his last victim, and Karen Sprinker were found in May of 1969. So April of 1969 is when he had committed his last murder, and just that next month, those two bodies were found. He didn't think that they had any, like, they didn't have any way to tie it to him. But a detail that I forgot to mention was that he tied up all of their bodies. He tied their bodies with like a special rope and a special wire to like auto parts. He like to like car engines or like just heavy auto parts to weigh them down in the river.
Wow. So they're going to link him back to that, isn't it? Is that what happens?
Sort of. No, not really. Okay. I don't really know how to, no.
no.
So after the bodies were found, he started to call different college dorms, and he would like basically just ask for like a common name, like, hi, is so-and-so there? And they would just, he would just hope that somebody would be able to come to the phone.
What?
He did this multiple times.
Trying to like lure someone?
Basically, yeah. He would just ask for random names and somebody would come to the phone and he would be like, hi, I'm a veteran and I just want to go on a date and I want someone to talk to. Will you meet me for a Coke?
And they'll feel bad and be like, sure.
And most of the time people were like, yeah, no, I'm not going to do that. That's weird. So finally, one co-ed from these college dorms did agree to go on a date with him. And I didn't find her name. I saw a couple sources that had different names, so I don't know what her name was. But she went on this date with him, and he was really strange, but he didn't hurt her. He kind of was like, oh, how do you know that I wasn't one, you know, that I wasn't the guy that killed all those girls and what? That I wasn't gonna go throw you, whatever. Like,
okay, bye.
Like, I wasn't gonna throw you in the river. Like, thanks for coming. And I don't know. He was just,
is that supposed to be funny?
Like, yeah, like, so she was just like, like, this is really weird. And yeah, they finished their date and then he dropped her back off and she called the police right away, obviously, because he was freaking weird. And
did she know his real name?
I don't know. I'm not I'm pretty sure that she knew his name, but I don't really know. So, but she called the police and she like was like, this guy was really weird. Like, he might be the guy that killed all those girls. Mm-hmm. So the police were like, okay, well, if he calls you back for a second date, agree to it and tell him that you need like enough time to get ready and we'll come and be there when he gets there to pick you up. Mm-hmm. So like, obviously, he got back and he wanted another date at some point.
Oh my gosh.
So when he went back to pick her up, the police were there to arrest him.
Oh my gosh. Good.
Yeah.
You go, girl.
So he was arrested on May 25th of 1969. And they ended up getting search warrants for his garage. And they found all kinds of nasty stuff.
Could you imagine being that girl? That got him caught.
Like the last person.
I wonder if she's still alive. She probably is.
I can't even imagine. Well, when he was originally arrested, he called his wife and said, go into the garage and like burn everything.
What? But burn the house down.
But she was like, okay. And she didn't do it.
You told me I couldn't go in there. This is probably a test.
Yeah. Thank God she didn't do it, because then when the cops came, they found everything.
Oh my
they
God.
Found all of the nasty clothes and all of the, you know, just everything.
So he probably still had clothes from when he was like 16 years old, like younger than
that. Well, not from then, because he was caught, remember? And they...
Oh, yeah. Yeah. When he was younger, nothing came from it yet.
Yeah. So okay. He had to restart his collection, but they found the clothes and they found the pictures.
Oh, my God.
And they found all kinds of auto parts and the wires.
That's disgusting.
That were very, like, the same wire
that was used. The distinct ones on the, on the bodies they got.
Yeah. So they found all of this stuff and they charged him. Originally, he pled not guilty by reason of insanity. Like everybody does, you know.
Well, obviously all of these people are like stupid and crazy and insane, but like
but you know what you're doing.
Yeah, you need to be punished like a piece of shit that you are.
So he talked to multiple psychiatrists and all of them were like, no, like, he's completely sane, he can definitely stand trial.
Like, you knew what you were doing.
He knew exactly what he was doing, because he, you know, he took all these pictures, he planned everything out, he knew exactly what he was doing. So the smoking gun in this case was, you know, he had taken all of these pictures While some of the pictures that he took, he put a mirror on the floor.
Oh my God.
And he would take a picture of the mirror because it would like show up. So it would show like the bottoms of the girls. Well, in one of the pictures, he accidentally got a little bit of his face in the mirror and he didn't notice. So it was obvious that he was the one taking the pictures.
He's a stupid idiot.
So that was like really the smoking gun that there was no way he could say, no, that's not me.
Mm-hmm.
So after talking to all the psychiatrists who said he was sane and then finding that picture, he changed his plea from guilty by reason of insanity to just guilty 3 days before his trial was supposed to start. He pled guilty. Now, normally there's like, I don't remember if it's like a 48-hour waiting period or whatever. I don't remember the time period. It's like 24, 48, or 72 hours. It's one. I really don't know. Stupid me. They have like, you can do a waiting period once you plead guilty before you get charged. And he was like, he waived it. He was like, just charge me right now. So he was sentenced to 3 life sentences for the murder of Linda Sally, Jan Whitney, and Karen Sprinker. And he was never charged for Linda Slauson because they never found her body. So even though he admitted that he killed her, they never found any evidence of it. So they weren't able to charge.
Oh my God.
Which really, really sucks. But he was charged with 3 life sentences, so he was basically never going to get out.
At least he, like, admitted to it.
And, right.
Like, her family will know, or
right.
Whoever cared about her.
Exactly.
But he's still a stupid piece of shit.
Exactly. So he did all his, he started serving his sentences, and he tried to say that he was innocent. He tried to repeal. Is that the word? No, it's a different word.
Appeal.
Yeah, I was like, that word is so not right. So he tried to appeal like multiple times, and every single time they were like, they said no. And then eventually they were like, dude, like,
just give it up. Give up.
You're never getting out.
Yeah.
Sorry, bro.
What an idiot.
Some funny things is in jail, he ordered shoe catalogs. Like, he would write to shoe companies and ask for catalogs.
What?
Like, most people want porn. He wants shoe catalogs.
Did he actually get them?
Yeah.
Ew. Gross. I'd be looking at your own fucking feet.
So gross. Have you seen the show Mindhunters?
No, I just can't get into it for some reason.
It's really good. And there's actually an episode where they interview him and they bring him a pair of shoes to try to get him talking. Because he's in prison, and they bring him a pair of shoes, and he like goes off into the corner and like masturbates with a pair of shoes.
What? In front of these people?
Yeah, in front of these FBI agents.
Ew.
It's a really good show. I don't know how,
I'm not going to talk when I do this in front of you.
I don't know how realistic, all of that is, but yeah. I don't know. The actor does a really good job portraying him. Anyway, he died in March of 2006 from cancer. So he suffered a little bit, which is super awesome.
Yeah. What kind of cancer did he have?
Liver. I think it was liver cancer. And he was in prison in Oregon State Penitentiary for 37 years. And at that time, he was the longest incarcerated inmate at that time. Like, he had been there for the longest time that they'd ever had somebody incarcerated.
Wow. I hope he suffered.
I hope he suffered so
bitch that he is.
Much. So that's really pretty crazy how innocent little fetishes can turn into something so crazy.
It is really crazy how like these people can live in your freaking neighborhood.
Yeah, and you just like, they can just look like a completely innocent person.
A weird tubby little redhead.
Like, wait, this person is doing that?
And that is why you walk your child to the mailbox.
Yeah.
And don't let them go play at the junkyard.
So crazy. And there's, like, no interviews from his family. Darcy, like, changed her name, went into witness protection program.
And, like, what about his kids?
Yeah, like,
that's probably a good thing.
Disgusting.
Poor little kid.
So basically, fuck Jerry Brudos.
Yeah, fuck you, Jerry.
And I'm never going to look at a pair of high heels the same.
Me either.
Yeah. So, well, thanks everybody for listening. If you are interested, you can follow us on Instagram. And our Instagram handle is...
We forgot.
I forgot. I got to look it up. Our Instagram handle is at Fraternal Files, which makes sense because that's the title of our podcast.
Yeah. And we will post links to like our sources and stuff.
Yeah.
And then remember, this is our first podcast, so we will get better. Like, you know, there's already things that we're thinking of like that we're going to improve next time. So,
yeah, we will fix our mistakes and we'll get better at the details. You can also email us at fraternalfilespodcast@gmail.com. If you have any thoughts, questions, concerns, or case suggestions, we would absolutely love to hear it.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. So thanks for listening. We hope that you will come back and listen again.
Love you.
Love you. Bye.
Bye.